Blog Talk Radio.
Fasten your seatbelts and put your foot on the gas. The Red Light Sports Network presents the Red Light Sports Ramble.
They say it's cool and that, but I don't. They probably don't really think it's that cool.
With Troy Otradovic.
He is really good.
And Evan Witalison.
He's awesome.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the marvelous Evan Witalison out in the great state of Wisconsin. Evan, we are less than 24 hours away from the NFL kickoff. And as I put in the preview, we're going to talk baseball tonight, but it's an exciting time of the year. Super Bowl's done, draft's done, OTAs are done, preseason finally done, tomorrow night kickoff, and I air quote, the Super Bowl rematch. I honestly hate when they call it a rematch. The Super Bowl is the Super Bowl. This is game one of 2016. After tomorrow night, one team's 1-0, one team's 0-1, unless they tie. But I don't like this whole Super Bowl rematch. It's a totally different game. The only thing that's common are the names, the Panthers and the Broncos. But before we get into our show tonight, how are things out in the great state of Wisconsin tonight?
Things are great. Some rain came through. Unfortunately, for some parts of the state, you need a bolt to transport yourself from location to location because a lot of rain came. But in my part of the state, fortunately, it kicked the humid air out, and it is much cooler tonight than it has been in the past few days. So that is a good thing. So I also, on day three of my new workout program that I'm doing, Country Heat, and I love Country Heat. However, and I'll give it another shot tomorrow, there's a particular move in today's workout. The workout was called Giddy Up. And there's a particular workout in Giddy Up, a particular move right at the tail end. It's called Wacky Feet, and I can't quite get it down. I have to do the modify. The other moves, I'm pretty good. But I just got to do the modifier for it right now because it's just I have a weird move, and I don't think my feet move that way. I don't think anybody's feet move like that, to be honest. But, either way, it was a great workout. And it's great. You know, workout, it took like 29 minutes today. And that 29 minutes, I'm sweating, my heart is elevated, and I'm exercising, and I feel good. And next thing you know, the 29 minutes is up, and I'm like, wow, I got all this done in just 29 minutes? Wow. And that's the thing I love about Beachbody in general. And, you know, I talked about it the other night. I hate going to the gym. I hate going to the gym. I hate it. Dealing with the people that are just there to be there because they think that's the cool thing to do, go to the gym. And the most people that go to the gym, they don't have a plan. And that's why most people, you know, a lot of people that go to the gym aren't successful. They don't have a plan. They go to the gym because they think it's a cool thing to do. They get there. They're looking around the room. They're not knowing what to do. They're unsure of what to do. So a lot of times they leave before they even get anything done. And the thing with the home workouts that I do is there's a plan in place. There's a calendar that tells you each and every day what to do. So Monday, I had a country swing. Tuesday, country swing. Wednesday, giddy up. Day, giddy up. Friday, country swing. Saturday, giddy up. Sunday, rest day. Monday next week, down and dirty. Like it lays it out perfectly for you on what to do and when. And there's modifiers for every move. And they show you how to do the moves before they have you do it. I love the options I have working out at home, especially with Beachbody on Demand. They have thousands of hours, Troy, of programming of different workouts that you can do just for signing up. And you get 30 days free if you want. So, and I talk about it a lot, and that's just because I'm that passionate about fitness. I'm that passionate about Beachbody. And if you want to learn more, I'm just an email away, coachevan66@gmail.com. I'm just an email away if you want to learn more, coachevan66 redlightsports@gmail.com. So with that, going to throw it back to you. As you talked about, some football to talk about, some baseball to talk about. And before we talk some baseball first, going to throw it back to you. How are things doing out in Western PA?
Well, another busy day. My daytime job is very busy right now. For those that are loyal listeners, know I'm the staffing director for NHS Human Services, and we have 18 schools in Pennsylvania, and we are in need of teachers across the state, Evan. And right now, finding a teacher is like scraping the bottom of the barrel. So I'm very busy during the day, needless to say. And it's kind of like a little break from reality for me to prepare for the show, get on the show at 11 o'clock, just love it. We've been doing this thing for 3 years now, and it never gets old. I enjoy it every night. But you and I wanted to talk a little baseball. I know football is tomorrow, Evan. But with the start of the NFL season, is September baseball. And in September baseball, that is when the playoff fever catches fire. But unfortunately, Evan, I don't want to say I'm not excited, but when you look at the division races, there's really only one true division race going on right now, and that's in the American League East, where you have Toronto, Baltimore, and Boston. That is what's going on. You've got the National League West with the Dodgers and the Giants. I believe it was four games going in tonight, I believe. And then you do have the AL Central with a battle going on there, too. I believe that's five-game difference. But five games to make up in 20 with 24 left is a lot. So that American League East division, Evan, though, the winner of that division is going to be in a great spot. But even the other two teams, if they continue to play the baseball they're playing, you could see both wild cards come out of the AL East. So I don't want to say I'm not excited for September baseball, but when you compare this year to years past, there's not this drama and there's not this, like, who's this little dark horse that's going to come out of the woodwork and make a playoff push. That team's not there this year. I mean, the National League, you're literally, and we're going to talk about the Pittsburgh Pirates tonight at length. And so our Pittsburgh listening base probably going to get excited. I just sent a tweet out. For those that are listening in Pittsburgh, give us a call and give us your thoughts on the Pirates, 646-915-8254. But, Evan, you really got the Cardinals and the Mets battling for that second wild card. I don't see the Giants imploding. And then in the American League, like I said, there is a little bit, I mean, there's a couple teams on the outside looking in there that could jump into the wild card. And if the teams in the AL East beat each other up, one of them could fall out of that race. But before we get into actually talking about teams and our thoughts there, I want to get your thoughts on the playoff race. Exciting or not as exciting as years past to you?
Well, I don't think it's as exciting as years past. However, I don't think it's because that you don't have these sleeper teams per se. And what I think it's not as exciting in the past because I think this is, what, year three of the second wild card. You know, just like interleague play was exciting at first. But now interleague play is pretty much meh. You know, it doesn't mean much. But wild card-wise, you know, you got the Blue Jays, the Orioles, and the Red Sox. They all competing for that division title. That's exciting to watch. That's some exciting baseball. You got the Astros that just won't work. They just don't want to go away. Sitting at 74-60 currently, they started out really slow out of the gate. Same with Kansas City, started out really slow out of the gate, but they're turning it on as of late. And the Yankees, where the hell did they come from? 2.5 out of second wild card spot? Like, where the hell did they come from? They're a team that after the trade deadline, Troy was left with debt, and they're now on a 4-game winning streak, sweeping the Blue Jays, helping the Red Sox and Baltimore by sweeping those Blue Jays. And then in the National League, you know, Cubs, Nationals, and Dodgers. The Giants are making a late push on the Dodgers for that division. I don't know if they'll catch them. But the wild card, you have the Giants, then you got the Cardinals and Mets tied for that number two wild card. And the question is, who's going to get it between the Cardinals and the Mets? Outside of the Cardinals and the Mets, well, it's pretty much every, you know, no one, I don't think there's any team outside of the Cardinals and the Mets that have a shot. The Pirates are 4.5 out after today. The Marlins are 5. The Rockies are 7. So I think those teams are pretty much the Cubs have that division locked up. The Nationals have their division locked up. And now it's just a matter of the wild card. So I am interested to see what the Cubs do from here on out. The Cubs just lost their second in a row to Milwaukee. And as a Brewer fan, I'm starting to get a little irritated with the Brewers right now. And here's why. They're screwing up draft position because they want to freaking win. Stop winning. Stop screwing up draft position. Get a top five pick. Because right now they got the fifth worst record in the National League. And I'm sure there's teams in the American League that are worse than them, too. You got the Twins. You know, Brewers have 61 wins. So you got the Twins and the Rays and the Athletics, all worse than Milwaukee. So that's 3. And then you got the Astros, the Padres, the Reds, and the Diamondbacks, all worse than Milwaukee. That's 4. So right now the Brewers are sitting at ball record-wise. I'd rather have them top 5 to get some top talent, but maybe that's just me. But I'm not excited as years pass for the playoffs, but it definitely is some exciting factors to it. So before we switch to Pittsburgh, I got an opinion on the Pirates that might ruffle a few feathers. Either people are going to like what I have to say or they're going to get all upset at what I have to say. But I'm going to throw it back to you so you can finish up your thoughts on the wild card and the playoffs before you move on. Once you're done having some technical difficulties, you can explain to us your thoughts.
Well, I was saying that after Pittsburgh decided to beat St. Louis tonight to keep the door cracked open, but I don't think they have enough to get to catch St. Louis. And here's the thing, Evan. It doesn't matter if they're chasing St. Louis because the Mets are playing really good baseball right now. The Mets are 8-2 in their last 10. They've won 5 in a row. They're taking care of business like a playoff team is supposed to take care of business by taking care of an inferior team in the Reds. And I'm going to go back to that with Pittsburgh. I'm a diehard Brewer fan. The Brewers are my team. The Pirates should never have gotten swept by the Brewers at PNC Park. When that happened, you're looking at it going, this is not a playoff team. And, you know, the Brewers are playing hard, like you said. But honestly, Evan, when you're Pittsburgh, if you're a playoff team, you don't go 2-8 at the end of August, beginning of September. And you don't get swept by Milwaukee in your home ballpark. So that National League wild card, that's a two-team race. St. Louis and New York. All Pittsburgh can hope for at the last series of the season against St. Louis is to play spoiler and to keep the Cardinals out of the playoffs. And I would actually kind of like that. I would kind of like that if it was between St. Louis and New York and the Pirates could sweep St. Louis and keep the Cardinals out of the playoffs and let New York get back in. I'd be okay with that. Now, the American League, though, I had mentioned not as exciting as years past, but I want to touch on something you said, Evan. New York Yankees, pretty much a fire sale at the trade deadline. They told Mr. Rodriguez, we don't need your services anymore. They traded Nova to the Pirates. They were getting rid of people. They had everybody, I think, on the table because they thought their season was basically done and over, and now they're only 2.5 games out of the second wild card. Maybe sometimes it just takes that we don't care attitude and we're just going to go out and play baseball right now because they're 6-4 in their last 10. They've won 4 in a row. They're making a push. Maybe that's the dark horse team that I was talking about that I didn't say there really was one. But on the flip side, right now Toronto is faltering. as they've lost three in a row. But then, you know, you have Baltimore and Boston who keep doing what they need to do. Both of them 6-4 in their last 10. If they keep playing like that, there's going to be one of your division winners and one of your wild cards. But I also have to believe that Toronto will turn it around. We got a very good offensive club. But the problem is their pitching. It's still their pitching. But Toronto does have a very good offensive club. And then you've got, like you said, Houston just won't go away. They're only two back. And even the pesky the Royals, Evan, they're only 3.5 back. But they've got three teams ahead of them to vault. So that's a tall task. But I wouldn't put it past them. You know, they've been in a situation. They are a postseason-ready team. And if they can go on an 8-9 games out of 10 streak, they could vault themselves ahead of maybe the Yankees and the Astros. Who knows? So there is a little bit of excitement in that AL wild card, unlike the National League. But I really think it's going to come down, like I said, you've got those three teams in the American League East, and something's just telling me that those three teams have very good ball clubs. I really like them, and that's where the wild card is going to come from. But it'll be interesting to see those four teams below the line, the Royals, Yankees, Astros, and Tigers, see how much of a push they can make and see if one of those teams can get above the line. So I know we wanted to finish up the show tonight. Me being out in Western PA, get to hear about Pirate baseball all the time. And now you're going to give your thoughts as somebody looking in Pirates, and you had shared a little bit before the show, and I don't think you're way off base of it. You know, I think when you talk about what you're going to talk about, it's something that many fans may be on the same side as you. So I'll let you go and get started.
Yeah, well, here's my issue with the Pirates. Now, you look at the Pirates the past couple of years, 2013, 94 and 68, 2014, 88 and 74, 15, 98 and 64. Now they're at 67 and, 67, 69. They're not very good right now. And here's the issue I have. I'm sorry, 68 and 69 now. Here's the issue I have with the Pirates. Here's the issue. Direction. They lack direction. You look at the Brewers back after 2011 season. They completely lack direction on where they could go. They basically hovered around 500, and that was it, and they hoped that they could possibly make the playoffs, a late push to the playoffs. That's what they hoped for. But unfortunately for them, it never happened. So here's, to me, what the Pirates need to do. They either need to, A, make a splash, bring in a free agent, or two, and make a splash move. Or option number two, and I'm sure this won't go over very well, or it may, I don't know what the feeling is on him right now in Pittsburgh, it might be time for Clint Hurdle to go. I'm usually not one to point at the manager and say it's the manager's fault. But you look at the Pirates team. They are a team that is severely underachieving. Andrew McCutchen is having a horrible season. The pitching staff's not doing very well. The team, I don't know what to even say. The team just doesn't seem to be there. And maybe it's time for some fresh blood in the managerial world. Role. And there's some options out there that they can probably try to get. You know, there's Bud Black, former longtime Padre manager, and then you also have a guy like Ron Renicki, and I'm sure Brewer fans cringe when I say that, but Ron Renicki is a guy that they might be able to bring in there. They just need to make a splash move or two in free agency or bring in a new manager to have a new voice in that clubhouse. Or here's the other option, blow it up, trade your top pieces, get all the prospects you can get, and start stacking the farm system and get ready for another run. The Cubs are not going away anytime soon. They're just not. The Cubs aren't going anywhere. So you don't have, right now, the horses to compete with the Cubs. They're not going anywhere. So either A, get the horses, or B, start rebuilding and be ready to make a push when the Cubs are done making their run. To me, that's what they need to do. They just need to get a direction. And I know Pirate fans probably cringe a little bit at that, you know, tearing everything down and rebuilding, because we all remember how long it took for the Pirates to get a winning team again. But that was because they lacked direction, and they're starting to fall into that old habit. They're starting to fall into the old habit where they didn't really have a direction. I think that's what's going to upset Pirate fans more than anything, to be honest. But that's my thought on the Pirates. They need to either A, switch manager and or bring in some big, you know, bring in some free agents, or B, just tear it down and rebuild. So what are your thoughts?
Well, I'm going to disagree with the tear down and rebuild it, Evan, because I'm out here all the time. They've got some good young talent on this team. I would go lean more toward your option A. They've got some good young pitchers, and they kind of threw them into the fire this year. Jameson Taillon, actually, in my opinion, probably the best pitcher right now. And they've got another young kid in Cool that came up and has done very well. They've got Glass now that was down in Indianapolis. They've got some good young arms on this pitching staff that I think give them hope for the future as far as compiling a very good staff. Gerrit Cole has pooed the bed this year. Excuse me. You and I talked about this before the season. He sat there and cried about his contract, and now they gave him a little bit of money, and look what happened. Now, I'm not saying that that is a direct correlation, because he's had a little bit of injury. He's missed a few starts here with an elbow injury. But if you're going to complain about money, Evan, and you're going to get paid money, then you better go perform like you deserve the money. He does not deserve the money they gave him. He's an average pitcher at best this year, and he's supposed to be the ace. But I like the future of the Pirates pitching staff, and they've got some good young core pieces offensively. They've got Polanco, and they've got Marte. They've got this kid Bell that they brought up that could be the future first baseman. I really like some of these little young players. I shouldn't call them little, but these young players that they brought up. So there is this nucleus there, Evan, but they need to add some veteran leadership. And I think that's where a lot of Pirate fans that I talk to, they want them to go out and they want them to drop the money to bring in that top-tier free agent who can make a difference and change a game. Now, people get mad at me, Evan, and you talk about letting Hurdle go. I know McCutchen is the face of this franchise. I understand that. But I look at this year, and I'll say it this way. Can you get value in return for him? Maybe. I really thought that I know they thought they were going to make another run, but you mentioned it. To me, this team is nothing more than a team wavering there. They're not at the level to compete with the Cubs, and they're just hoping to make the playoffs. And so maybe it's time to look at dealing McCutchen. You have Marte. You have Polanco, who have outperformed McCutchen second to none this year. And you add some more valuable pieces by trading McCutchen and then bringing a free agent in. And there, now you've got a couple guys that maybe are your all-stars. And I think you got some future all-stars in Marte and Polanco. I was mentioning this, and I told you a little bit of it before the show, Evan. Pirate fans want to get mad, and they want to get mad at Neil Huntington, and they want to blame Huntington, the general manager. And I mentioned this to a Pirate fan today. Well, if you really sit down and look at Huntington as a person, he's just like every other blue-collar worker out in Western PA, Evan. Stingy guy and doesn't want to take chances. A lot of blue-collar people are that way. They like their money, they've worked hard for their money, and they don't want to spend it. they always think that, if I save it today, maybe I can use it later, or maybe I'll need it later. And I think that's the mindset that is strapping the Pirates right now. They're just too hesitant to make the move because then they're going to second-guess spending that money. And if you think about it, Evan, you're in the same situation. Even though you and I are not considered blue-collar workers, we are middle-class people where we earn our money, and we look at our money as being very valuable, and it's very hard for us to drop that big bomb investment-type deal as a middle-class person working. And I kind of see Huntington that way. And now, is that coming down from the ownership? I don't know. I'm not a fly on the wall in the Pirate organization. But I just see it all the time. It's not like they don't have the money to spend, Evan. I mean, if you look at their contracts and what they could do with money and these young guys that they have that they're paying peanuts to, they could go out and they could drop the bomb. They just don't want to. And I think there's a little bit of – I'm trying to think of the right word. Just a little bit of hesitancy to make a big investment in case they're wrong. And I think that kind of just – I wanted to relate it to the fan today about, you know, just take a deep breath. You know, you got to put this in perspective. And so, you know, your idea, you know, the manager – you know, people love Mr. Hurdle right now because he brought them back to the playoffs. But like you said, Evan, this is a what have you done for me lately league, just like every professional league. And sometimes it does get stale. And you're absolutely right. This team underachieved. It underachieved. Now, I know there were some injuries, but you can never blame injuries. I actually listened to Clint Hurdle's press conference today, Evan, and somebody brought the St. Louis Cardinals up. And he kind of, I don't want to say shot himself in the foot, but they were mentioning, or he mentioned, the St. Louis Cardinals organization. And when somebody goes down, another man steps up. The Cardinals have been doing that for at least a decade. Starting pitcher goes down, they go to the minor leagues, they bring up a guy that's for a Cy Young. Position player goes down, they bring up a guy and he bats 300. Or he makes the All-Star game. And Clint Hurdle himself said today, when somebody goes down, there's another man that steps up. And so you cannot use injuries as an excuse. If you're doing it right, that's exactly what happens. So I agree with you, Evan. They underachieved. And so maybe it is time to really take a look at the staff and say, do we use this young core of people and change managers? So I know I would have went a little longer probably than I had even wanted to, but those are my quick thoughts on the Pirates. Anything to add, Evan?
No, I don't have anything else to add. Just make sure you give a listen tomorrow as we preview the Packers-Jaguars game and talk about that and what the Packers need to do to win. And we're going to give our predictions as well. Thursday is once again going to turn into our Packer preview show. But with that, though, I'm going to throw it back to you to let our amazing listeners go.
Yeah, another great show tonight. And I can't believe it. Finally here tomorrow night, Evan. Finally, Packer preview. Getting all excited for it. Already started doing my research for the show and putting tomorrow night's show together. And I got so excited doing the preview tonight, I actually had already thought in my mind it was Thursday night. So that's how excited I am about doing Packer preview already on Thursday night. So with that said, everyone, for Evan Wichallison, I am Troy Otradovic. Hope you enjoyed the show tonight. Fasten your seatbelts, put your foot on the gas. Evan and I will get back with you tomorrow night, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central, Packer preview. Have a good night, everyone.